This hour of the Howie Car Show podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. If you can't get enough of Howie, you can buy Howie's books, t-shirts, and more. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
And I think the Iowa caucuses this week were a metaphor for the entire Democratic Party. Dysfunctional, dispirited, detached from your own voters.
Why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
It's a good question. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier.
Not only was it authentic frontier gibberish, it expressed a courage little seen in this day and age.
The campaign says that Joe Biden's actually used the line before, but it doesn't make it any more relatable to a 21-year-old college student.
A lot of what he's saying seems to be really pathos-based and very sad. I don't think he has the momentum to carry this to a national election.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
But look, it's what they are. So you play by the rules that are set at the time. You know, if I'm Julio Castro, or I'm Julio Castro, or Julio Castro, or Julio...
Down by the schoolyard. Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I would go for a good visitor to the black church, let alone someone that acted like they belong there. A lot of these guys don't even act like they have visited occasionally for a wedding.
You know, I'm glad to stand on this stage with my fellow Democrats who talk about how important the black community is, at least at election time.
Six women of color that quit your Nevada campaign with complaints of a toxic work environment and tokenism.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Air Force One and Air Force Two both bound for New Hampshire for tonight's Keep America Great rally with President Trump inside SNHU Arena.
We did great in New Hampshire. We should have won New Hampshire, but that's okay. I'm not holding it against you because it was not your fault.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Oh boy, have we got a big day planned today. We're going to have Donald Trump Jr. on. We're going to have Vice President Mike Pence. We're going to have Joe DeGeneve. A lot of breaking news on the deep state investigation. We've got the Corey Lewandowski, and we've got Brad Parscale, who's the campaign manager for Donald Trump. We don't have President Trump on the show, and although, of course, if he wants to call in, he can feel free to do so. I was kind of lobbying for him today on Fox and Friends at 7:15, talking about how he got screwed in 2016. You know, he lost New Hampshire by 3,000 votes, and you know, I'm not sure he would have won even if they had had tighter registration. But I'm damn sure that Kelly Ayotte would have been in the Senate instead of Maggie Hassan. She lost by fewer than 1,000 votes. The laws have been tightened up somewhat, and anyway, the doors are just opening at the arena, SNHU Arena in Manchester, that seats 11,500 thereabouts. The last time President Trump was in Manchester, he set the all-time record. He beat Elton John's turnout of 11,100. He had 11,500. I'm sure it'll be packed to the rafters again tonight. Grace is standing outside, and she'll be conducting interviews and giving us man-in-the-street interviews as time goes on. They'll be moving into the arena pretty fast, but they're, as always, outside of big Trump events, there will be thousands of people outside. It'll be fun. We're going to have a good time. 844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. I got to say, the Joe Biden stuff was just too much. Calling a 21-year-old woman a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. And I have daughters in their 20s. If somebody called one of my daughters dog-faced, I mean, that would be a real blow to their self-esteem. You know, you don't call anybody dog-faced, especially if you're trying to get their vote. What the hell was he talking about? And then I heard him say it, and I said, that sounds vaguely like a a John Wayne line from something like The Sons of Cain.
I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that, son.
But then I thought, I can't remember that. But he said, John Wayne made 150 some odd movies, so how do you know what he said? But you know, you would think that's the beauty of the internet. Somebody always knows that kind of stuff, but nobody could come up with it. No, there is it's apparently just some figment of his imagination. The nearest they can come up with it is that it may be something like that came from a movie from 1952 starring Tyrone Power. I never heard of the movie, and Tyrone Power, I hadn't thought of him. I think he died in the 50s. He had a heart attack. He was a matinee idol type guy. And he died young and of a heart attack on set somewhere. And so, I mean, but, you know, 1952, that was just Joe Biden. He was just a young man in those days.
In all the proud annals of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, pony soldiers, as the Indians called them, none is more exciting than this true story, told exactly as it happened, of how one pony soldier challenged an entire renegade tribe on the warpath.
Okay, so we're going to get Brad Parscale tomorrow, so we don't have him with us. But we're going to take some calls here, 844-500-4242. And, you know, you may remember vaguely a famous line of authentic frontier gibberish, like Joe Biden was putting out yesterday in Hampton, New Hampshire, and it's from Blazing Saddles.
Bushwhacking, hornswoggling, croaker, croaker, is gonna roll away, biscuit cutter.
Here's the.
Now, who can argue with that?
Rabbit.
I think we're all indebted to Gabby Johnson for clearly stating what needed to be said. I'm particularly glad that these lovely children are here today to hear that speech. Not only was it authentic frontier gibberish, it expressed a courage little seen in this day and age.
Rarit. So that's where it really came from. It came from Mel Brooks' Blazing Saddles. Forget pony soldiers or anything else that John Wayne was involved in. And So, wait, there's more. There's more from Joe Biden. It used to be we'd have one or two things on the weekend, but now he's in New Hampshire. You know, a packed schedule, at least for Joe Biden, whose greatest memories of movies come from 1952. So this is Joe Biden remembering Julian Castro. Remember Julian Castro was the guy from San Antonio, the brief presidential candidate who gave him a lot of grief and basically accused him of being senile. Cut two.
But look, it's what they are. So you play by the rules that are set at the time. Even though the rules seem to be changing a little bit. You know, if I'm Julio Castro or I'm a couple other guys, they didn't change the rules to allow me to stay on the debate stage. But now the rules gets changed to put someone else on the debate stage in the primary he can't even run in. Look, it's what it is. You deal with what's before you. As my dad would say, never explain and never complain.
Where's Julio? Julio? Did I miss it? Did I miss him saying Julio in there?
No, it was in there, real quick.
Okay. But look, it's what they are. So you play by the rules that are set at the time. Even though the rules seem to be changing a little bit. You know, if I'm Julio Castro.
Julio Castro. Okay, we got more, though. Wait, let's take a cut one. He forgets the candidate he was running against in 2008.
You call these debates? I've been in debates. I debated Paul Ryan. I debated that woman from Alaska who could see Russia.
Okay, wait, there's more. This is for all you life members of the National Rifle Association. Here's a lecture in firearms from the vice president, the man who advises every woman to own a shotgun. Cut eight.
Because We're unwilling to have a rational policy. It says you cannot have 20, 30, 40, 50 clips in a weapon.
Man, Valentine's Day is coming up. Mailroom manager, I want me one of them guns that has 20, 30, 40, 50 clips in a weapon. Yeah. All right. Can I get me a holster that carries I can put 50 sidearms in? 844-500. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
Access down that way.
Hi, this is Val from Longmeadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Havel, Massachusetts.
This is Murnie in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Taste the amazing difference of ButcherBox by signing up at ButcherBox.com/Howie and get 2 filet mignons, 1 pack of bacon, and $20 off your first box. ButcherBox.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who will finish third in the New Hampshire primary? Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, or Joe Biden?
I'm going to say, I'm just going with the latest poll results from last night after the debate. 3 days after the debate, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm going to vote for Klobuchar.
Finishing third in our poll is Joe Biden. The only poll he's finishing third in. Amy Klobuchar is up at 44% with Elizabeth Warren a bit behind at 31%.
You know what? Well, that's because we got a lot of lion, dog-faced pony soldiers voting in our poll. That's why Joe's doing so bad.
How dare you?
844-500-4242. Joining us now from outside the SNHU arena in Manchester is Grace Curley. Grace, what's going on?
Hello, Howie. It is a raucous crowd here. It is loud. It is wonderful. I wore my Howie Carr press pass. I'm getting recognized, which is awesome. But even more importantly than that, Howie, I've got retired Congressman Sean Duffy on the line. He's going to take my phone and walk back to the silent area, which I'm not allowed in, but he is. So I'm going to give him the phone right now. Sean?
Oh, that's great. He's going to be with us tomorrow, just in a regular interview, I guess. But that's great to hear from you. Sean, what are you doing in New Hampshire? I thought you were home in Wisconsin taking care of the kids.
Listen, you know what? The president asked me to come on up and join him for this rally. He said, Sean, it's going to be off the hook in New Hampshire. You got to come and see how we're going to win this state. And so I came up a couple hours ago and it is absolutely crazy here. People are waiting outside for, almost 2 days. It's cold, it's raining, and they're excited and happy to see the president tonight.
Well, it's you had a big rally in Milwaukee, right? Didn't you? He's been in all the swing states, some of which he won, like Wisconsin, some of which he lost very, very narrowly, like New Hampshire.
Right. No. So Howie. So I mean, by the amount we lost New Hampshire is the amount we won Wisconsin. Two very, very close states. And if you remember, just a couple of weeks ago, when he came to Wisconsin, he was in the throes of the impeachment trial. Coming here to New Hampshire tonight, the weight has been lifted off him. I think it's going to be a raucous night. I mean, he feels great about the State of the Union. He feels, great that he had the right vote from the Senate. Not only that, the Democrats have been an absolute disaster. And that they can't run a caucus in Iowa, and he feels good about what's going to happen here in New Hampshire with not having any challenger, but also his supporters coming out tomorrow to vote for him in the primary.
Boy, after what happened in Iowa, you really have to have a suspicion about what the Democrats have planned for Bernie, just like they did in 2016. And we all saw that video from James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, and that Bernie bro saying they're going to burn down Milwaukee if they don't get the nomination, if it gets stolen again. I mean, that's got to concern people in Wisconsin, doesn't it?
Well, first off, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, Howie, but the Democrats understand that Bernie can't win. I mean, America is not going to vote for a socialist, at least not yet. And I think this was a concerted effort to make sure that Bernie didn't garner steam out of Iowa and
New
Hampshire and win. And,
yeah.
And so they would rather take the hit and look like a disaster than have Bernie, you know, win two of the early states. But you mentioned Wisconsin. And if this goes to a brokered convention and Bernie doesn't win, I think this goes to like 1968. They'll be burning cars and torching our streets in Wisconsin. And think back, I don't know if you remember, in 2011, when Governor Walker passed Act 10, the radicals took over our Capitol. Remember that?
Yeah, I sure do. I went to high school with the editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel back then, and that newspaper was playing along with that whole. That was a deep state conspiracy of its own, and the new, just like in the newspapers were mixed up with the deep state in Madison, just like this, what's been going on here. It was horrible.
Yeah, but what happened? Wisconsin voters are like New Hampshire voters. We're nice. We're good people. We don't like those kind of shenanigans. Scott Walker got more votes in the recall than he got in the first election because people were mad about the protests at our Capitol. My mom and dad are liberals. They kind of like Bernie Sanders. They voted for Scott Walker because of the protests at the Capitol. If Democrats come to Milwaukee at their convention and torch our state, you're going to see Democrats not have a chance at winning Wisconsin, Minnesota, and I think we have a great shot of winning Minnesota too.
Well, I mean, you know, the most recent trade agreement. I mean, this is a bonanza for the dairy farmers, isn't it? In Wisconsin and the other farmers, right?
It's going to help our dairy farmers out. But you know, we milk we get more per cow now, and people are drinking less milk. We have a supply and demand issue. But this trade deal will help our farmers out. But like in New Hampshire, there's 18,000 new jobs in this state since Donald Trump was elected. We see the same thing in Wisconsin. There's more jobs available than people who can fill those jobs. And so if salaries are rising, people are less concerned about the economy and more concerned about their kids and their high school educations and college educations. I mean, it's been absolutely fantastic. And just a few years ago, you know, if people lost their job, they wouldn't get another one. Today, they know if they lose their job, they can go down the street and get another one and probably get paid more money. I mean, the Trump economy across the country has been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, there's a front page story in the Wall Street Journal today, Congressman Duffy. It says small businesses having trouble finding workers, and I thought to myself, that's a problem for small business, but it's really a boon if you're one of those workers, right? You can get more money now because there's a shortage of workers. Sean Duffy from Wisconsin, we'll talk to you tomorrow. We have a regularly scheduled interview coming up next. Donald Trump Jr. I'm Howie Carr.
Do you or a loved one have trouble hearing over the telephone or need to turn up the TV volume so loud that others complain or find it hard to follow conversations at the dinner table or in a restaurant? Let's face it, hearing problems can be embarrassing. That's why Hearing Help Express takes away the anguish and embarrassment of hearing loss. Better Hearing has never been so convenient and affordable with simple to use, hard to see, and easy to afford hearing aids and professional care delivered right to your own home. And the best part? Hearing Help Express cuts out the middleman, saving you over 50% and an inconvenient trip to an audiologist's office. Right now, Hearing Help Express is offering a free, no-obligation hearing loss information kit that includes a hearing assessment with special offers and discounts. I love their information kit and have taken the assessment myself. It's fast, easy, and informative. Call Hearing Help Express today at 800-353-5200. Call 800-353-5200. That's 800-353-5200. Use promo code Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Joining us now on the line is Donald J. Trump Jr., and I believe he's in New Hampshire right now, or he soon will be. And he's going to be in Manchester tonight for the rally, and he'll be, I think, fanning out across the Granite State with people like Sean Duffy tomorrow as surrogates for the president. Donald Trump Jr., thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
It's good to be back with you. How you doing, Howie?
Very good, very good. What do you think your father's going to do tonight? Is he going to mention the Democrat candidates try to do a little personal Operation Chaos like Rush Limbaugh suggested back in 2008 with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama? Is he going to try to, you know, mold the turnout tomorrow in one way or another?
You know, I think he's going to do his thing. And, you know, the reality when he gets on the stage in these rallies, it's sort of fun just to watch wherever he goes at the time. I'm not sure there's always a sort of set plan. I think he just gets up there and starts having some fun. I mean, I just think the Democrat chaos and, frankly, incompetence sort of speaks for itself. You can see that they're obviously trying to do what they did to Bernie last time. They don't want him to be the candidate because they realize that, you know, it would just be a total disaster to have a socialist there. You know, Joe Biden can't string two sentences together without stammering all over himself. Half the time, he doesn't even know what state he's in, let alone what party he's running for. You have all the corruption of his family and kids. Elizabeth Warren's the least genuine person probably in the history of politics, which is saying something. So, I mean, the whole thing is just sort of amazing.
I saw you last week talking about how unfair it was that you would had to spend, I believe, 30 hours under oath before various congressional committees talking about a 20-minute meeting that was set up by Hillary Clinton's operatives. I mean, it was a total frame job. And then, you know, you were dragged through the mud like this. And Hunter Biden, they keep saying it's a debunked conspiracy theory, and that's ridiculous. You have to be pretty angry. I don't blame you for being disturbed about the disparate treatment you've received.
No, without question. I mean, I take that one a little bit more personally when you think about, you know, spending 30 hours in front of Congress and the Senate where they're literally, you know, it's just a perjury trap. But you think they would have gone on, you know, I wouldn't have not gotten the John Brennan treatment for lying to Congress. I'd actually have to pay for it. It would be a totally different game. You know, the reality is this, you know, Hunter Biden's taking millions from corrupt regimes. He's taking $1.5 billion from China. He's taking more money from Romania for, you know, the Ukraine stuff is obviously the genesis of all of this. And there's people saying, oh, what do you mean? Why would we even want to hear from him? I'm saying, wait a minute, I took a 20-minute unsolicited meeting and I had to do 30 hours of testimony, but you don't have to hear from Hunter Biden, who's actually doing all these things. You know, it's interesting. I read a sort of a cool thread on Twitter today, which is basically, you know, Joe Biden is essentially the character that they try to make Donald Trump out to be. They try to pretend, oh, he's not so bright. Well, Joe Biden is not so bright. He can't speak. Joe Biden can't speak. He's got the corrupt son that's actually taking money from Ukraine. That's me. That they try to make it, as opposed to us not doing international deals, us giving up all of our international business going forward and our new deals going forward, when we were actually international business people before we got into this game, unlike Hunter Biden. You know, so it's sort of interesting that, you know, their leading candidate, at least until last week, was sort of the manifestation of all the things they actually hate about Trump and pretend that Trump is, it's their guy. So to watch the DNC try to sort of make him the guy again is just amazing, frankly.
Right, and your father's been a lot tougher on the Russians than Barack Obama ever was. He imposed sanctions. He gave military aid to the Ukrainians, which Obama and Biden never would do. So, I mean, this is crazy when they talk about it, that, you know, Schiff and Nadler, he backstabbed an important U.S. ally. I mean, what they accuse you of doing, 99% of the time.
They're always doing.
You're right, exactly.
That's their playbook. They've done it time and time again. That is literally their playbook. You know, this goes back to, you know, they've been writing about this forever. You know, rules for radicals. That was case number one, right? You know, accuse them of doing all the things that you're doing. The Democrats have done that. The thing that they haven't done is actually try to move the needle forward for any of their people. They haven't put forth any policies. They haven't come up with any ideas. You know, they're signing the articles of impeachment as Donald Trump is signing a trade deal with China. you know, they're pushing Russia, Russia, Russia as Donald Trump renegotiates NAFTA and gives us the USMCA, which everyone said would be impossible to actually do. So, you know, he's doing all the things he said he was going to do, and he's doing it despite unprecedented resistance with no help from a left that has totally forgotten about their constituents, that has totally forgotten about the you know, working class Americans. Donald Trump's getting it all done, but he's doing it despite unprecedented just resistance and zero help from the Democrats. Imagine what he could do if they just got on board and said, okay, fine, maybe we'll do a little something. Maybe we'll try to make sense. Maybe we won't just spew nonsense every day, all day, and try to block you from doing those things. I mean, imagine what he could accomplish with just a little help.
How do you feel about the Venmans being gone? I saw the paper the next morning, the New York Daily News. They made it sound like your father was the godfather. They called him the Gopfather because he's taken care of family business. Who wouldn't get rid of people who were trying to stab him in the... If you're anybody's boss and one of your underlings tries to stab you in the back and lies about you and wants to put you in jail, basically, and accuses you of treason, I mean, doesn't he have a right to get rid of that person?
Of course he does. It's no different than, you know, the ambassador to Ukraine. I mean, you serve at the pleasure of the president. If you're not serving him, if you think you know better, and these people don't know crap. These are career bureaucrats that don't know anything. They don't understand how the economy works. They sit there, but they push pencils. And if you have a partisan bureaucratic hack, you know, you have the right to get rid of that person. That's how it works. These same people don't have a problem when they attack, you know, people from the military that are conservatives. You know, they only get the bona fides if they're, you know, if they're liberal partisan hacks, and that's when, you know, the outrage starts. So there's a double standard that's been in play here in Washington for a long time, and Donald Trump just has the guts to actually push back on it, as opposed to most of the other conservatives who traditionally just haven't fought. And I think, you know, that's a great thing for us as conservatives for the future, because you've created a mindset where, hey, conservatives don't just have to be the party of, you know, stump speeches and then rolling over and dying just because the other side wants you to. Like, we can actually push back because the facts line up for us. Common sense and logic actually prevail in our ideas. It's not just a bunch of left-wing nonsense where, you know, the goalposts of wokeness move every day. And, you know, what's woke today is racist tomorrow again, and it never ends. It never ends, Howie. They're never satisfied, nor will they ever be satisfied. You cannot get stupid or woke enough to satisfy them, and those two things at this point are basically the same.
Did you see the tweet that Lisa Page sent out, one of the FBI lovebirds sent out last night? This guy Benjamin Witz from Lawfare, he was comparing all these crooked FBI agents being fired to Jews in the Holocaust. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. So Lisa Page comes back and says, "What we share, despite our differences, is a lifetime of service to our country. We are civil service who dared to rebuke this president." This president. She worked for him, right?
Yeah. If you have a civil servant that was for him, they would not give them the same benefit of the doubt. I mean, that's how it works. They're not civil servants. They're partisan hacks. They did this. They tried to literally start a coup. Okay, she's sending tens of thousands of text messages to her lover on a government phone about insurance policies. I mean, if a conservative did this, he'd be in jail right now, Howie. If a conservative did this to Barack Obama, you'd never see that person again. They'd be locked away in a dark place. They'd be lucky to get, you know, to be able to speak to a lawyer. That's how this works. It's gone so far. The deep stain is gone. You know, the left is so entrenched in there, they literally don't have to play by the same rules, right? It's like, you know, John Brennan, you know, the great CNN analyst, who was a former director at all these crooked places when all this stuff's going, can literally perjure himself in front of Congress, can lie to Congress. And it's like, ah, okay. No, but, you know, he's a leftist. You know, they don't give the same benefit of the doubt if it was someone on our side doing it. We don't get that same favorable treatment. They literally can say and do anything. And because, beyond the bureaucracy, because there is no mainstream media outlet who would ever dare question a nice, true leftist like Lisa Page, they get away with it. They can say whatever they want. There's no fact-checking. There's no looking into it. There's no, like, hey, maybe we should look into this nonsense. Maybe we should create a stink about, you know, a group of partisan hacks trying to set up a coup. If government did that to Barack Obama, they'd be in jail.
Yeah,
their careers would be ruined by the left. They'd never get a second chance. They wouldn't be made lords of Twitter. They'd never be able to get another job again.
What if Paul Ryan had ripped up the State of the Union speech address of Barack Obama?
Well, he wouldn't because he doesn't have the guts to do anything. I mean, I don't know that I'd use Paul Ryan as the example of a conservative because he's sort of the reason we probably have so many weak conservatives in there. But yes, had a strong conservative leader done that, you would have never heard the end of it. They would have, if my father did something like that, they'd impeach him again for ripping up a government document. This is how it works. But again, when they do something bad, it's just sort of covered up. Oh, no big deal. No, nothing to see here. Don't worry about it, folks. Move on. And, I like just trying to expose that double standard because it is as flagrant as anything I've ever seen, and it continues to get worse because I think, their derangement is manifested further by Trump derangement syndrome where, anything that Trump does, I mean, he could save a puppy from a burning building and there's something wrong with it.
Let me ask you about Bill Weld, the former governor of Massachusetts, who's also on the ballot tomorrow against your father in New Hampshire. You guys are up there. You're spreading out. You're fanning out across the state. What percentage of the vote do you think Bill Weld is going to take tomorrow?
Honestly, I've never even heard of him. I'm not so worried about it. It's more about just really being up here, show some support for our teams, our great volunteers, the people on the ground that do all this work. Give them a little bit of a thank you. And, understanding we know what the other side's going to do. And for the general, it's really a great dry run for that. We don't ever want an Iowa situation where, the difference is Republicans will always be able to count. But we don't want an Iowa situation during the general, and understanding the games that the Democrats play with all of that, we've got to run the most perfect game we possibly can. So this is a good dry run for that. But as far as any competition, I'm not so worried about them.
You really don't know who Bill Weld is?
Tongue in cheek, but basically no. Can anyone on the phone name anything he's actually done? No. It's one of these guys. He's trying to get some attention, trying to get a little bit of love from the left by challenging Donald Trump, which, if you challenge Donald Trump, even if you're a conservative, all of a sudden then you can get a little love. You can maybe get a little attention. Maybe you'll get a couple hits on TV, which, leads to your inevitable sort of fake conservative commentator on MSNBC later on in life.
Respect.
I mean, I assume that's what he's trying to do. It's like the fake... it's like the Anna Navarro, like, let's pretend I'm a conservative so that I can say all sorts of bad things about conservatives and great conservative policy. But because I have conservative in my title, they put me on there, and it's like the token guy to say the other thing, but they're not actually saying anything conservative. So, we've all seen this thing play out before, and so I don't take it all that seriously.
Well, of course, I know you know who Joe Walsh is. I know he's out of the race now, but, he's done a good job as a rock guitarist over the years. James Gang, Solo, and now the Eagles,
Yeah, another guy that has a pretty dismal track record. I mean, this is someone that wasn't paying child support while he was in Congress. Seems like a pretty bad dude overall, at least this is what I've read. Again, if you're willing to say bad stuff about Donald Trump, I mean, you can turn that guy into Mother Teresa, so it's sort of amazing. But, just another example of what we're up against, but why we're here, why we're taking it seriously, and why we don't take anything for granted.
Donald Trump Jr., always a pleasure to have you on, and good luck. Good luck. Have fun tonight at the rally, and have fun in New Hampshire next couple of days.
Oh, I always have fun at the rallies. That's my happy place.
And especially at the SNHU arena. He's had some good nights there, including Election Eve.
We've had a couple really good ones. So, without question, man. So thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks. Donald Trump Jr. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Bill Weld is kind of pathetic. I mean, he was having Joe Biden moments today. He was on the WRKO morning show in Boston.
And I'm told he was supposed to be on for an hour, but somehow it ended rather abruptly. And he became confused about some stuff that he shouldn't have become confused about. And one thing he shouldn't have had any confusion about was who were the morning guys in Boston radio and what stations were they on when he was governor. I mean, this is Charles Lackwood Dara. We have him on occasionally. He was on Boston for about 25 years, and he was at one time the number one guy. And everybody know what everybody who was here knows what radio station he was on. Apparently, except for Bill Well now, who's I don't know is he was the valedictorian of the Harvard College class of '66. Okay, we're going to take this in just a minute here. We'll play the Bill Well cuts here in just a moment. Grace, are you there?
I'm here, Howie. I'm here with Matt Schlapp. He's going to take my phone and walk into the back room so he can talk to you. This place is insane, Howie. I've met so many people. There's so many heavy hitters. I'm in heaven. Here's Matt Schlapp.
How are you?
Hey, Matt. How you doing? Thanks for
doing
coming
awesome.
On. Listen, what's going
on?
Listen, you know, we were just talking about Bill Weld, the former governor. We have another former governor from Massachusetts who's been more in the news lately than Bill Weld, even though he's running for president,
yeah.
And that is Mitt Romney. Now, you run CPAC. That's correct, right?
I do, yeah. Why? Is that good or bad in this context?
I'm more amused by what's happened than any. I'm not shocked or anything, but you basically disinvited Mitt from coming to the CPAC, the big CPAC conference, which is one of the biggest weeks or weekends of the conservative movement every year, correct?
Yeah, you know, it's really the globe's biggest political convention, so it's the biggest time that people get together to talk politics. In this case, it's conservatives. And, you know, quite honestly, I think we've had enough of Governor Romney's crap. He's come to CPAC. He's told us what we want to hear. He always tells us what we want to hear in primaries. And then when he has the chance to do the right thing for history, he's always on the wrong side. So we're just kind of done with that.
What, you weren't impressed by that big puff piece in the New York Times about his religious convictions and, you know, being true to the faith of his fathers and all that kind of stuff? And, you know, history was going to record that he was a giant in the tradition of Henry Clay and Daniel Webster? You didn't buy that, Matt Schlapp? Is that what you're telling me?
Look, yeah, I think you might be being a little sarcastic, but I'm sometimes slow on the go. But here's what I've learned about my Savior, Jesus Christ. You don't put them in the drawer, put them away for a couple of days, and then pull them out when you need them. And the same thing is true with the support of conservatives. You know, if you made a commitment to somebody, it's a commitment every day. We all make mistakes. But what Mitt Romney did when he used his faith to try to justify his vote on conviction is he basically indicted every person of faith in the Senate.
Yeah. Oh, Matt Schlapp, I wish we had more time to talk to you. Matt Schlapp has basically disinvited Mitt from coming to the biggest conservative gathering of the year, CPAC. Good job, Matt.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show podcast is brought to you in part by the Dirty Rats podcast. Everyone is raving about Dirty Rats. Available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on DirtyRatsPodcast.com. Binge Dirty Rats today.